morning. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 to 15. Elijah flees to Horeb. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, but be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coal and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king of Aram." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing each and every one of us to your house of worship. Father, open up our hearts and our minds as we are going to be listening to your words spoken through our pastor. Father, cleanse our minds to receive each word and apply it to our daily lives. Father, we thank you for guiding us and teaching us your ways. May we always be able and ready to serve you. In your Son's holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. A few months ago, I was talking with someone in from this church, and we were sharing some disappointments and things. And this person said, "What? You too, Pastor? You get discouraged?" Well, he thought that pastors don't get discouraged. You hear that, Eugene? You should never be discouraged. But he didn't realize that pastors do get more discouraged sometimes than others. And also, the fact is that the devil's business is to ruin, to destroy, and discourage, and disappoint, and make people miserable. And if we let him, he will destroy our life. Well, Elijah was a great man. Elijah was a prophet of God. Elijah means the Lord is my God. He was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. We see Elijah in the New Testament on the Mount of Transfiguration appearing with Jesus and Moses. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration there were three people that the disciples recognized. You always wonder how did they recognize Moses and Elijah, but then again, God has his own way of making our minds open and see the truth. So Elijah was one of the two. Elijah appears in 1 Kings 17 announcing a famine. Elijah said to Ahab, the king of Israel, and I'm quoting, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Why? Because Ahab was an evil king and did more evil than any of those before him. He also married Jezebel and began to serve Baal, and he provoked the Lord. You see, it wasn't enough that he had turned his back from God. It wasn't enough that he ignored God, but also he married a woman, Jezebel, who destroyed his life completely, and he started worshiping other gods. During the famine, God provided enough food and water for Elijah to survive, so that he should have remembered always. And then he came the great victory on Mount Carmel, where God's power once again was demonstrated. And verse 19 says, "There were 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who ate at Jezebel's table. These prophets prayed and prayed and prayed, and nothing happened." You remember he made them build a big altar, and he put the meat on the altar, and then he asked them to pray, and he also had built an altar for his living God, and he not only built the altar, but he made it, he sort of poured a lot of water around the altar, and then they prayed all day. And he even poked a little fun at them to pray louder because maybe their God wasn't listening to them. And they did, and they got so discouraged, so disappointed that they didn't know what to do. And then we see Elijah prayed, and the living God brought fire and burned everything. And I quote verses 38, 39. "But when Elijah prayed, the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stone, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw these, they fell prostrate and cried to the Lord, 'He is God. The Lord is the Lord. He is God.'" But right after this wonderful experience of victory, we see Elijah running for his life. And you just wonder what's happening. Here he saw the power of God. Here he saw fire coming from heaven. Here he saw all these prophets, or at least the people who were praying to their own gods, fail. And God helped him. And then he meets a woman who threatens his life and he is running for his life. There are times in life when God seems far away, so far away, and we wonder why he is not speaking to us. Why can't we feel his warmth? Why are dark clouds surrounding us? One day recently, in the past few months, we had more cloudy days than sunny days. But anyway, recently one day was very cloudy. And then early afternoon, the clouds disappeared and the sun started shining. And it was so nice, so warm, so beautiful, at least for me it was. And then after an hour, again the clouds came and covered the sun. And it was again miserable, for me at least, once again. I felt very miserable. But then again, if you think about it, the sun had not disappeared, the sun had not moved, but only the clouds had come and covered the sun. So the sun was there, everything was sort of shining above the clouds, but when the clouds came and covered the sun, then it looked very dark. The sun was covered. Sometimes God is covered. Life is like that. Some days or months or even years seem to be dark, but God has not moved. The clouds of life are temporarily covering his brightness and warmth. Trust him. Keep talking to God. Keep serving him. He is there. Those dark days are not the end. But let's look at the entire picture of Elijah and God. First, the Lord's care of Elijah. Verses 4 to 8 describe how God provided for Elijah. Elijah's great victory and Jezebel's anger just ruined his performance, if you wish. Now his victories are all forgotten and he feels very low. And often this happens to you, to me, to us. We have come this far in our life. We have done so many things and so many things have happened in our life. But we forget all those when something terrible happens around us. When a loved one disappears, or a loved one leaves us or turns his or her back, when our children disobey or something happens between us and the children, when the church does not please us, when the pastor hurts your feelings, or the pastor gets discouraged because the congregation is not responding, all kinds of things the devil will use to discourage and disappoint people. So you have Elijah, the great prophet, so discouraged, so scared that he is running for his life. He ran for his life. He ran and ran and ran for an entire day into the desert. Have you ever caught yourself running and running and running from a problem, from a difficulty? Where do you run to? He ran into the desert. You probably ran into the bathroom or to the bedroom or outside or to your music or to your headphones or somewhere, and you start weeping and crying and looking back and cursing the time that something has changed your life. He did not want to face anyone. Well, some of us deal differently when we are faced with different circumstances and situations and negative things. Some people give the silent treatment. They just go away and don't talk to you. Others stand there and argue with you. Others write you letters. Others may send you an email and then you start corresponding. Well, you know, how do you deal with the difficulties is going to prove actually what you are made of. He did not want to talk to anyone. He did not want to face anyone. He did not want to assume any responsibilities at all. Have you ever said, I give up, I don't want to serve anymore, nobody appreciates me, nobody says thank you? And I'm sure my wife has thought that many times when we complain about the food or the she's correcting me. She says, we? No, she never complains. But I complain and I say, hon, this is too salty, too uncooked. Well, she probably thought, well, I give up. She didn't come up and say it loudly, but I know she thought. Yes, I know. Okay. But we do. He decided there is not any use in living. And I was sort of watching something the other day, and this man was running away from a situation, family situation. His wife had done something and he was running away, and he drank a few drinks, and then he felt so desperate that he wanted to jump over a high bridge. Well, you know what? The devil does that to us. He makes us so discouraged. He discourages us to the point of death. It is enough. In other words, I've had it, Lord. What is this? Now she's going to kill me. I've given my life. I've served you. I've done everything you wanted me. And now Jezebel has promised, she has promised me that by next day, by tomorrow, I'm going to be dead. And you know what? Instead of stopping for a moment and say, well, God, you protected me this far. Why would this woman be able to kill me and destroy me if you don't want me to die? Take my life away, he says. He wants to die. How sad. See how confused he was. He runs away from death, yet he wants to die. Does that make any sense? He is afraid and scared, and he is running and running and running and running the whole day. And he is running away because he's afraid that Jezebel is going to kill him. And then he decides, take my life, God, kill me. So why is he running? Because the devil confuses us. We don't know what we want. We want to live and yet we want to die. We want to die, yet we want to live. We want to be happy, and yet we don't want to make sacrifices. I mean, when you are not plugged into God, when the Holy Spirit is not controlling your life, and when for a moment you turn around and turn away from focusing to God, your brain or our minds become very confused. A depressed person does not know what he wants. Well, have you ever met a depressed person? Or maybe you were at one time depressed, or you still feel depressed. You ask that person, what is it you want? I don't know. You want to go there? No, I don't know. What, you want to eat anything? I don't know. Kids do that lately. You know, where are you coming from? And you know, that's what depression does. It just takes away that spark, that life that makes you go on in life. Finally, he lay down, and I'm quoting, finally, he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. I suppose sometimes the best thing or the only thing left for people who are discouraged, disappointed, is go to bed and sleep. Because when you sleep, at least you stop thinking. But then again, the devil has a way of dealing with you by bringing a dream. And then even there, there's no running away from yourself. Have you ever felt so down that all you could do was lie down? Have you ever felt that life is fruitless and useless? And if you say no, then please speak to every one of us, because we need your advice. How have you done it? I know we have this great words, with the grace of God, I have overcome this, and you know, the joy of my salvation, and all these pastors get up and preach, and people are impressed, and then they go home, and they don't want to talk to their wife, their kids, because they are so discouraged, so disappointed. So you know what? The devil has a way of ruining our joy and just robbing us from that joy. Have you ever felt, I'm repeating this, have you ever felt that life is fruitless and useless? Sometimes you think that you are not contributing anything to your family, to the society, or to the church, and you feel so discouraged because you have this person, that person, the other person who sings like Elise. She has beautiful voice and she sings and plays the piano. And who am I, Lord? I don't even play the piano. I don't even know how to do anything. And then God says, guess who created you? Guess who has programmed you? Guess who is in control of your life? And you start thinking. And you realize that God is the one that has allowed you to be where you are. And there's always a purpose for your life where you are. But notice God's tender care for the depressed prophet. As he slept, an angel touched him. God was watching. God is always watching. When you are depressed, when you are discouraged, when you go to bed and you don't know what's going to happen to you, when your loved one is sick in the hospital, when you are sick and you don't know what's going to happen to you, when you look at your bank book and you see that there's no more money left because of whatever reasons, and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills and you go to bed hurting, suffering, God is there watching you and says, wake up. Get up, have a cup of coffee and listen to me. I'll guide you. I'll protect you. You may go through a difficult period of time and the circumstances may not change, but I'll help you deal with the circumstances. God provided food and water, and Elijah wakes up and eats. Elijah goes back to sleep again, but an angel wakes him up again. God did not feed him so he can go back to sleep. God did not feed him so he can go back to sleep. God has not brought you this far so you can sit down and sleep. God has not blessed you this far and brought you this far just to sit there at home and do nothing. People depend on you. You may touch the lives of many if you just respond to that little touch that says, what are you doing there? There were things to be done, and Elijah was in God's plan. Do you ever feel that you are part of God's plan, or you think you are just a number? Sometimes in the past, more often than now, while I was praying and sort of talking with God, I would say, really, who am I? There are 6 billion people, maybe half of these people are praying to a God or gods or things. And there are maybe millions who are praying to the living God, and maybe there are hundreds who are concerned about some things and talking, and I think that is concerned about me and my pain and my suffering and the things that occupy my mind, and I'm about to get very discouraged when the angel touches me and says, yes, he cares for you. First was the Lord's care of Elijah. Second, we see the Lord's question to Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? God speaks to his discouraged child. Elijah was scared and trembling when he should have been trusting. Elijah was complaining when he should have been praising. Excuse me. Elijah was complaining when he should have been praising. And that's exactly what happens to us too. Often we are complaining and crying or weeping because something went wrong, but we forget all the other things that God has done for us? Here is God's question to a Christian defeated by fear. What are you doing here alone? I am with you and I care about you. Here is God's question to a Christian who thinks he has no purpose to live. Why do you think I put you here? Why do you think God put you here this morning? Why do you think God put you in your family? Why do you think God put you in this city? Why do you think God put you in this country? And why do you think God allowed you to live this far? Well, you've never asked that question, and if you've never asked that question, then you better ask that question. Why do I think all this has happened? Because God has a purpose. Here is God's question to a Christian who is overwhelmed, burdened by problems. Why are you carrying your burdens alone? Come to me and I'll give you rest. Here is God's question to a Christian who is focusing on the faults of others. Why are you doing this? Don't you know that every time you focus on the mistakes or faults or problems of others, you rob yourself from my joy and your peace? And don't you know that by doing this, you destroy your own testimony? Here is God's question to one who is a backslider. What are you doing here? If you made a commitment some time ago or recently and you feel that you find yourself in a backslidden situation, the question is, why have you come this far back? Third, the Lord's commission to Elijah. First, he feeds him and then he asks him, why are you here? And when he deals with that also now, he says, now that we touched those 2 points, I fed you, I strengthened you, I asked you why you are here and you explained to me, now I'm going to tell you what to do. Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. And I believe that's exactly what every one of us should do. Go and stand before the presence of God. Not in the church, necessarily. Not in front of a pastor or a preacher or the Pope or Billy Graham or anyone like that. Just go and stand before God and face God. What an experience Elijah had. A great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks, but God was not there. The ground trembled under his feet and stones fell around him, but God was not there. Then trees burst into flame, lightning strikes, but God is nowhere to be seen. And often we make the mistake by expecting an earth-shattering or an earthquake kind of a service or meeting to see God. And often people will say, well, I went to this meeting and the music was so good and the pastor was so powerful that the building shook and I could see God. Actually, what the person may have seen was his emotional attachment to power, emotional expectations from a pastor, from the music. And when they start shouting and praising, and this person's emotions respond to it. But is that God or our emotions we're dealing with? Why all this commotion if God is not in it? And that question should be asked today. Why we go through all this commotion of creating situations where everybody gets excited, but God is not in there? And you say, am I judging people? No, it could be here, right here in a temple. We may create a situation where everybody gets excited because of the music, because of the words we say, because of the food, but God may not be in unless we invite God to come and stay. Yes, God is there watching us. Yes, God is there listening and maybe weeping with us or for us. Well, first God had to get his attention. And sometimes Please, I'm not abusing my grandson. But when I say something to Joshua and sort of he's not listening, I just go on his head. And he says, what, Grandpa? Just I want to get his, right, Joshua? And I want to get his attention. And God does that. And God comes into our life and talks to us through the pastor, through someone else, through our children, through our wife, through our husband, and we don't listen. We are too busy. We are too preoccupied, sort of feeling miserable. And then God comes and gives us a little something, and then we wake up and say, what? And he says, listen to me. And then came a gentle whisper. That is when Elijah heard God. What are you doing here, Elijah? And then came a gentle whisper. And then Elijah saw God. Can you imagine in a whisper and not in a thunder? You always thought that when God comes, there's going to be a big thunder and earthquake and things will happen. But no, God wants to get your attention first, and then he wants to whisper to you something that is very important. And you better be listening. What must God do to get your attention this morning? What are you doing here? God asks you today again. And then God instructs Elijah to go back and do what was expected of him, which was to do God's will. God meets us where we are. God meets you here. God will meet you at home. God will meet you at work. God will meet you whenever and wherever you think of him or you need him. He commissions us to get moving, get going. And we have the children and the young adults and some people of age, if you wish, going and distributing tracts and get excited. Well, let's get going. What about you? You say you're becoming very personal. No, actually, I'm not asking the question. God is asking me this morning, what about you, Joseph? What about you who are sitting in the pew? God's question to Elijah applies to us, to you too. What are you doing here? What's next in your life? Have you given up? Are you indifferent or ignoring God's call? Or maybe you have not heard God's call yet. I hope you heard it. And I hope you heard his call today, and your response will be, yes, I will obey God and live according to your will. May God help us do that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for being so loving, so kind, so compassionate. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for touching each one of us. Some of us may respond this morning, may others may ignore that touch, but you always are there, touching our lives, touching our hearts, our families. And this morning, once again, we ask you, please, to restore the joy of our salvation, to revive us and strengthen each one of us. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.